following message is from New Life Gillette series, Warrior. This week, Pastor Mike presents part two of this series.
Let me say welcome to those of you who are watching online, to the guys over at the prison, and to those of you who are here in the room. I've got a question for you. Have you ever made a plan or prepared for something, and then you just learned that your preparation was for nothing because whatever you prepared for never happened? Maybe you were in high school and you were confident that you were going to be in the NFL, so you spent all your time, forget the schoolwork, forget the relationship stuff, I'm going to spend all my time on football, and then, you didn't make the NFL, so that, didn't work out. Maybe you were a dancer in high school and you spent all your time on dancing because you're going to be a famous ballerina. Or maybe you were going after the prom queen and you spent all your time getting the prom queen until you found out that she likes band geeks and you're a jock or whatever it is. You prepared for something, but it never happened. One of the things that I think a lot of us prepare for is parenting. But the reality is all of us get to parenting and realize that actually every kid is different. So the preparing we did maybe helped a little bit, but we could never totally be prepared. But then we kind of look back at our lives and you realize, okay, actually a lot of things I experienced or things that happened to me actually prepared me more than if I would have just done the preparation on my own. Like being parented actually helped you learn how you want to parent. You saw how your parents did it and you kind of said, no, not that way. Or maybe you saw something good your parents did and you thought, all right, I can copy that. I can do that. I look back on my lives and I see a lot of things. I look back on my life and I see a lot of things that God did in my life prepare me to be a dad. One of those things is I was a men's resident director at a university before I worked here. And that prepared me. College students are a lot like babies many times. A lot of the guys that were in the dorm that I oversaw were athletes. And these guys would go and spend $25,000 to go to this college because this college offered them a $500 scholarship. And I did the math in my head and I'm like, so they charged you $24,500 so that they could give you $500. That works out great. Especially when you spend all of your time doing the sport. So they've now hired an employee for $500 who spends all their time doing the sport, neglect the relationship, neglect the schoolwork and all that stuff because I got my $500 scholarship. Okay, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but there were guys who kind of fit into that category and ladies. And I just kind of thought to myself, what are you preparing for? We go to a little tiny college. None of you are making it to the NBA. What are you preparing for? And I understand there are good things that result from athletics and fit healthy things and relational things and team building things that help, but it can't be everything, right? What are you preparing for? Well, that experience prepared me a little bit to be a parent. I'll give you one example. One time, Darcy and I were sleeping in our apartment in this dorm, and about 3 a.m., we hear pound, 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 pound on our front door. And so I assume the dorm is on fire. So I run to the front door and there is a guy out of breath standing on my front door and he says, somebody spread peanut butter all over my door. And I thought, that's not an emergency. So yes, I was prepared for last night when my son woke us up for something crazy night after night because they decide they don't want to sleep. What is it that God has used in your past to prepare you for your future? Maybe you didn't do it intentionally. Maybe it wasn't your preparation that got you to where you are, but God prepared you in a special way. We're going through the book of Joshua right now in a series we're calling Warrior. And last week we left Joshua and he's standing on the east side of the Jordan River and he has to lead the Israelites across the Jordan River into the promised land. And the problem is, right at the entrance to the promised land is a mighty city called Jericho. Jericho is a walled city, which a wall is pretty much the greatest thing that you can have in a military battle at this time. And they've got more weapons. They've got giants. They've got all kinds of stuff that, looking in, you assume there's no way Israel can defeat Jericho. But God in chapter 1 tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. So Joshua gets up just enough courage to formulate a plan, to start to prepare to attack Jericho. So Joshua, in order to prepare to attack Jericho, sends some spies into Jericho to figure out what strategy are we going to use when we attack. So let's pick up the story in chapter 2, and it goes like this. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Moving on. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. Focus on Jericho. That's where the power is. That's where the giants are. Focus on Jericho. If we can take Jericho, we can take the promised land. So Joshua is preparing to take the entire promised land. And that area kind of looked like this. So they're over here in this city, that name I don't want to say too often. And they need to get over here to Jericho, which means crossing the Jordan River. And so Joshua is formulating a plan of attack. So go scout Jericho. This is where we are. Okay, moving on. So they went and entered the house, these spies, go and enter the house of a, did I mention I'm excited about Kids Zone opening up? A house of an escort named Rahab. And they stayed there, these spies did. Of course they did. I am very sure that these spies go in to Sin City, Jericho, and they've got a job to do, but they immediately get distracted. Ooh. This looks fun. Sin City. I'm in. To make matters worse, sorry, I can't go into more detail than that. To make matters worse, they're caught. They're supposed to be spies, right? Nobody's supposed to know they're there or who they are, but right after they go to the escort's house, they get caught. Did I mention they were terrible spies? They were terrible spies. Verse 3. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house because they have come to spy out the whole land. They were caught. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And if this is the first time you hear the story, this is the twist in the story. Because you're assuming that the escort is the bad guy. You're assuming that Rahab is the villain of the story. Until you find out that this villain of the story, Rahab, actually lies to her own king about the Israelite spies. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left, she lies. I don't know which way they went. Go after the men quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the warrior of this story is not the two spies. The warrior of this story is not even Joshua. The warrior of this story is Rahab. And Rahab had been prepared by God to outsmart the king of Jericho. Verse 7. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. So now the warriors of Jericho are locked outside of the city and the spies are in the city. So Joshua sent spies to prepare to defeat Jericho, but God had a different plan. God's plan wasn't so much about the spies, it was about Rahab. God had prepared Rahab for this moment. God prepared Rahab to rescue the spies, and ultimately Israel. And you may say, how did God prepare Rahab? Well, my guess is that Rahab had some experience in sneaking men out of her house in the middle of the night because of her job. And so this is something that was she was prepared for, but we're about to find out that she was actually prepared in more ways than that. Because like Rahab, We don't always know how God will use our experiences to prepare us for something in our future. Did you know that God often uses even our pain to prepare us? He can use your fear. He can use love. He can use passion. He can even use our sins to accomplish things for his good. He even used the sins and hard-heartedness of Pharaoh, even when Pharaoh went unwillingly. For Rahab, it was all the above. God used it all to prepare her for this moment. Verse 8, before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I am confident, I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us. So this is the big turning point. Rahab is telling the spies information that they did not already have, so that all who live in the country in Jericho are melting in fear because of you. This is the information the spies need. God is delivering it eventually to Joshua through Rahab. Did you know we serve a really good God? We serve a really great God. We serve a really powerful God. But sometimes I think we get in the habit of putting ourselves center stage. We get in the habit of bringing attention to ourselves. Look how great our church is. Look how good the stuff is we do for our community. Look how well we love each other. And all the while, we're forgetting that the one who we follow is the greatest of all time. Like, what if at some point, instead of us having to tell people about the things that we did, they heard well before we ever opened our mouth? The great things that God was doing in people's lives, the great miracles that he was performing, the lives that have been turned around, the way that he's making us generous with each other, the way that he's using us to bless each other. What if the stories of God's power went out ahead of us so we didn't have to do much talking? That instead God took center stage. And this is what happens in the story of Rahab. The spies didn't have to say anything. The spies had heard the rumors of the Israelites' great God. And she says, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. This is part of the preparation, these rumors. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. In other words, Rahab had examined the evidence and realized that she was on the wrong team. She saw God's power and recognized, I am worshiping the wrong God. Most of our pride keeps us from that recognition. Most of us kind of think, I'm strong enough myself. I'm good enough. I can handle this. I can survive. I can work on my own strength. Rahab said, Maybe it was her sin, maybe it was her past that lowered her pride enough that she was able to admit that she needed a God like the God of the Israelites. Verse 11, when we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear and everyone's courage failed. Remember, God needed Joshua to have courage because he knew he could succeed if he had courage. But the people in Jericho, their courage had failed because of the power of God. Joshua now has what Jericho doesn't have. And everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven. This is Rahab talking, above and on earth below. So God wasn't only preparing Rahab. God was preparing all of Jericho and all of the promised land by putting the fear of God in them. Unfortunately, Rahab is the only one in the promised land who allowed that fear of God to turn into worship for God. Rahab is the only one who allowed her pride to be broken enough that she could admit that she was on the wrong team and start following the real God. Not so for the rest of Jericho. So what about you? How will God use your experiences to make you a warrior? But Mike, I'm just too busy to be a warrior. Mike, aren't only guys warriors? Last week we talked about military stuff. The guys go into Sin City and immediately get distracted by the escort. They get found out exactly. Apparently, they weren't skilled for the job. What excuse do you come up with when it's time for you to step up and be a warrior? What is it that you say, I can't because of? And some of us are just saying, you know what? I'm just trying to keep ahead of life. Like, I'm trying to keep my marriage together. I'm trying to pay my bills. I'm trying to get to work on time. I'm trying to get all this stuff taken care of. I don't have time to think about living life on a mission. I'm just trying to survive. And this is why in times like this, we say, when you have built your house on a solid foundation, when you have built your house on the rock of Jesus Christ, when the rains come, it can stand strong so that you can live life on a mission. You know, when COVID-19 hit, I was overwhelmed by the miracle that God performed here at New Life. When I wrote my board or my member report last year, I wrote down all of our goals for 2019. And I talked about how we wanted to spend 2019 investing in online church, how we wanted to spend 2019 investing on online giving. We wanted to spend 2019 investing in relationship building through life groups. And I listed a whole bunch of goals, and it is mind-boggling to me. It gives me chills to think about how well that list lined up with preparation for COVID-19. Because like that, all those things that we had prepared for became necessities, not something that we were doing because it would be a nice thing to add on. God was preparing us. This is miraculous in my mind. This was not our good planning. God was going out before. So that when COVID-19 hit and we had to shut our doors and all of the, not all, many other churches spent a lot of time scrambling to try to figure out how do we get our services online and how do we do the electronic giving and how do we do relationships over distance and all this stuff. All that preparation that they had to spend all their time doing was done on our side so that when COVID-19 hit, we got to live life on mission. So that we got to focus on doing things like town halls and blood drives and coffee for teachers and Easter egg hunts for kids and signs for medical care workers and all these other things. We got to live life on mission because the preparation had already been done by God. So in your life, building the solid foundation that is obeying the instructions of Christ, that is following his leadership in your life, building the solid foundation on Jesus Christ allows your house to stand firm so that when storms come, you don't have to focus on your house. You can live life on mission. How is he preparing you? And what kind of solid foundation are you building? So eventually Rahab allows God to use her. Eventually Rahab allows her pride to be broken to the point that she will switch teams and follow the God of the Jews. And she tells the spies, listen, we're all terrified. That courage that you guys have, we don't have it. If you attack, we're done. And so the spies take this message and they run to Joshua and they say, the Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. You want to talk about courage? All the people are melting in fear because of us. That's Rahab's message. Did you know that Rahab was mentioned twice in the New Testament as a great hero of the faith? Rahab, an escort. She's mentioned twice in the New Testament as an example of godliness. Rahab would go on to marry a Jew, and she would become the great grandma of King David. Guess who is in the lineage of King David? Jesus Christ is a descendant of Rahab. If God can use Rahab, what can he do with you? God prepared Rahab. What can he do with you? This is the life we live. We've been put on this planet Earth, and we talk about how becoming who we were created to be because we don't think you were an accident. We think you were knit together in your mother's womb intentionally by a God who created you for a purpose. Why are we making excuses? Why don't we allow our pride to be broken down to the point where we let God use us to accomplish what he prepared us for? So be like Rahab. Make your future like Rahab's. Be the warrior. that God created you to be. And if you're trying to just blend in and all my neighbors are doing this and my friends are buying this and we're all watching this and we're all playing these games and we're all doing this stuff, you're not becoming who you were created to be. You're being who everybody else is. At some point, if you want to become who you were created to be, you got to be different. You got to be weird. You got to be unique. And you got to say, even though everybody else is doing it, I'm not going to. This is what Rahab did. I know that I'm a Jerichoite or whatever they were called. I know I'm part of this team, but in order for me to become who I was created to be, I'm going to have to separate myself from my people. You see this all throughout the Bible. People, in order to become who God eventually would create them to be, were people who decided, I'm going to separate myself from the norm. I'm going to get out of my comfort zone to become who God created to be. God did it with Moses. Moses was a prince of Egypt, and he separated himself. He went to Midian to become who he needed to become so that he could lead Israel out of Egypt. We saw Jesus do this time and time again. He would go out into the desert and he would spend time alone. He'd separate himself from his followers. He'd separate himself from the crowd and he would go, and this is where God would prepare him to do what God put him on earth to do. So what is it in your life that you need to separate from? Because preparation almost always requires separation. Uniqueness, getting out of our comfort zone. What do you need to separate from in order to become what God created you to be? Jesus said this himself. He said, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown. You got to separate yourself. And among his relatives and among his own family. Other than that, he's honored everywhere. If you want to become the warrior that God created you to be, leave your comfort zone and prepare for something great. For us, being a warrior may not involve swords or any kind of weapon at all, or becoming an escort. What will it look like for you to become a warrior? It's probably going to look something like this. Peter said, always be prepared. We're talking about preparation today. Preparation is a good thing. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks. Everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So he gives us an outline here. Prepared, hope, gentleness, respect. So before we end today, I want to break down this verse and say, what is it that Peter is asking us to do? He's asking us to do four things. He's asking us to be prepared. He's asking us to be hopeful. He's asking us to be gentle. And he's asking us to be respectful. Those four things, I don't think very much describe our country right now. So let's go through each one. He says, number one, you should be prepared. So when you are asked, why do you trust God? You don't say, because my mom told me to. Because this is the tradition. Because I grew up going to church. What is it for you? Why do you have hope in God? Why have you placed your trust in him? I trust God because anybody who can predict his own death and resurrection and pull it off is somebody worth trusting. Because anybody who has created a movement like the one he's created, so long-lasting and widespread as his, probably deserves some attention. Because I've experienced something in my life that is greater than anything that I can explain. What about you? Why have you put your, are you prepared to give an answer for why you've put your trust and hope in God? Number two, we're to be hopeful. Around church circles, I usually hear things like, God, come get us soon. End it all. This is the end. Well, there's a lot of evil in the world, so God must be stopping the world soon. It does not sound hopeful to me. I believe that God put us in this world for a mission, and maybe we should be focusing on the mission rather than the end. If my house is on fire and the firemen come to rescue me, and the firemen are taking me out of my house is on fire, I say, hold on, I got a wife and two boys that are in the house. Forget me, go get them. Don't remove me from the world. Don't end this. We've got a mission to do, and I'm focusing on rescuing my, this. We've been put into a burning world. And we can say, get me out of here, end it all, I'm just done. That's about as selfish as it gets. Or we can say, we got a mission to take care of. And I'll say this, my hope does not come from Trump's promise that they're going to find a vaccine. I think he's right. But even if he's wrong, my hope is not in the vaccine. My hope is not even in surviving COVID-19, because I have hope, because COVID-19 could kill me, but it doesn't matter. My life is eternal. I have hope because I have a future that goes beyond death. That's where my hope comes from. Number three, we're told to be gentle. Social media and emails have removed gentleness from our world and replaced it with thumb yelling. Because we are scared to say things in person, but we have the courage to say things electronically that we would never say in person, and usually nothing good comes of it. It's time for us to learn to speak gently, even over the internet. Number four, we're told to be respectful. Even of people we disagree with, even of the enemy in Jericho, even of people we say are on the other team, we're to be respectful. And when we are able to do these things, he will use us. And the way he uses you may not be the way that you expected him to. It may not be in the plans that you created yourself for, but he created you for a purpose. And if you allow him, he will use you. Because here's the reality. Our preparation is just a guess. In my time of preparing, I'm assuming that I'm going to eventually get to this game, or I'm assuming that eventually I'm going to have to cross this obstacle, but it's just a guess. And don't get me wrong, I think preparation is a good thing. Ask anybody on my staff and they will tell you I'm a big fan of preparation, but it's just a guess. And here at New Life, we say on a regular basis, we're going to prepare for Sunday, but at any moment, God could say, I got a different plan. At any moment, God could say, you know what? It's in my hands. I got a plan. It's better than your plan, and we're going to follow your plan. We're going to do what you say, whether it was our expectation or not. Because Joshua sent the spies to Jericho to prepare to attack Jericho, but God had a better plan. Joshua prepared to attack Jericho, but God prepared Jericho to surrender. Now, Jericho resisted God's preparation, and they were annihilated because of it. They were killed because of it. He prepared them and they rejected his preparation. What will you do? God's preparing your world for you to accomplish something. What will you do? Because God did what Joshua could not. God will do in your future what you cannot if you will let him. Don't let your pride keep you from following God's lead. So, what is God preparing you for? Think about the challenges that you've overcome. Think about your hopes and dreams. Think about your talents, your abilities. Ask yourself, what has God done in my past that is preparing me for something in the future? And usually when you can combine all those things into a mission, you've got your purpose. What is God creating you for? What is God preparing you for? And when you figure it out, you're going to have to separate yourself from something. Usually it's your own plans. Maybe it's the people you do life with. You're going to have to separate yourself from something and move forward in courage to accomplish what God prepared you to accomplish. God, I thank you for the faithfulness of the saints who have gone before, who taught us what it looks like to sacrificially give of ourselves to the Christian mission. Even if it requires our life, God, we give ourselves to you. God, I thank you that you knit each and every one of us together in our mother's womb for a purpose, that you created us specifically to become who you created us to be. God, would you break our pride enough that we can at times abandon our own plans to follow your direction? God, in this time when our world is so desperate for leadership, I pray that you would give us the courage to lead in a loving and truth-filled way. Help us to build our lives on the solid foundation of your truth, so that when the rains come, that we can focus on our Christian mission. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.